This is your friend John Walden. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and after the parenthesis of the first 15 verses, we begin now with the 16th verse, where he says, "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." In the parenthesis, he exposed the false teachers. Now he is led to boast, as he calls it. You see, he has to prove his apostleship. So the Corinthians, and all of us for that matter, will accept the teaching as God's word. Now, he's willing to be counted a fool if they insist on it. He would much rather speak of the Lord, but others insisted on boasting, and so Paul must give an answer. And so he says, "That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting." The Lord himself said nothing about himself. He did not boast of himself until he was forced to do so when people said, "You have a devil." He said, "I do not have a devil." And he said that I am speaking by the power of the Spirit of God. And when people are accused of false teaching, then if they are teaching the truth of the Word of God, they must speak for themselves. They must put down the criticism of those who are actually rejecting the Word of God. And Paul didn't look upon this as their rejection of himself. He was willing to be counted a fool if that's what they wanted, if they insisted on this. And then he says, if you're very wise, you surely will be patient with a fool. That's real irony. And that's exactly what they needed. If you suffer a man, he says, you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer, or you allow, if a man bring you into bondage. And this is exactly what these Judaizers, these teachers of the law, were doing. They were bringing men to bondage. In his letter to the Galatians, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," that is, with the law. Now, he said, "You've allowed men to bring you into bondage. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." They were so foolish, they were so carnal, they were so blindly following these legalistic teachers that they were actually enslaved, consumed, robbed, put down. And he uses the figure here as being beaten as slaves. A slave had no recourse. A slave couldn't go to the law. A slave couldn't demand anything better. Because he was a slave, he had no rights. And now he said, "You've put yourself back under the law, and you've sold your rights, and you have permitted these people to do this for you." And in verse 21, he says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." If they insisted on boasting, what did they boast of? Well, they said they were Hebrews, nationally. Well, says Paul, so am I. And they said they were Israelites, religiously, and he said that was my upbringing too. And they claimed that they were Abraham's seed, and therefore they could inherit the promises. And he said, I belong to that same family. And then they said they were the servants of Christ. Are they ministers of Christ? This is a question, because it's a very questionable thing. In fact, he had said earlier in this chapter, it's a no great thing if the ministers of Satan be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Not all servants are servants of Christ. Some may be servants of Satan, and you can determine what they are by what they preach. We were told in the book of the Acts that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because they heard the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. And you have a responsibility to turn to the word of God and find out if this is really the true teaching. Take your Bible with you when you go to a church service and compare what is said and make notes on what is said. Compare this with what the Word of God says. All right, these people have a great deal to say about themselves. And he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And then he proves that he was a minister of Christ. Now, the mark of a true servant of Christ is suffering, which these people neither had nor wanted. Some people think that the mark of a true servant of Christ is how much he's accomplished, how many souls he's led to Christ, how popular he is in his preaching. But the thing that really counts, the thing that marks you as a true servant of Christ, is how much have you suffered for him. Because they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you live as the Lord Jesus lived, you will not be popular in this world. If you correct things that are wrong, as the Word of God corrects them, you will not be popular. People want their ears tickled. They want things that make them feel good about themselves. They like to be bragged on. And there are many people today who are following the theory that if you want to win friends and influence people, you better flatter them. And flattery, we're told, is a very wicked thing. The Apostle Paul was not interested in flattering. He was interested in getting to the truth. Now, he tells about these false leaders, and he is not really comparing himself with them. I want you to notice this. He is led by the Spirit to enumerate his sufferings. They had no sufferings. They wanted none. They had none. They lived a life of Riley. They lived an easy life. They were enjoying life. And he said, I'll give you my credentials in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that is, whipped with the whips, in prisons more frequent. We have the record of some of these, but many of them we wouldn't know anything about if the Apostle Paul hadn't been forced to enumerate these, if he hadn't been forced to tell about them. We do know that he was in prison two or three times, but this would seem that he spent a great many days and nights in prison. And in deaths often, that is, facing death. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. The law said they should not give over 40 stripes, and the Jews, religiously following the stipend of the law, the orders of the law, said, just give them 39 stripes. And then he says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. We only know about one of these shipwrecks from the book of the Acts, but he said that there were three of them. A night and a day have I been in the deep. That is, floating on a board or a piece of the ship. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, there are too many Christians who believe that we can count on God to see to it that we have everything that we need to make us happy and comfortable in this life. This is not true. In the Old Testament, it was. The Jews' possessions were earthly, and a godly Jew could expect to have a big family and good crops and a fine farm and become wealthy. In the New Testament, our gifts are spiritual gifts, and they are in the heavenlies in Christ. And if you get enough to eat, that's a bonus. The Lord never promised you that you would be spared difficulties and trials here on this earth. The Apostle Paul was probably one of the most godly of all the Christians who have ever lived. And yet, see what he says in this 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians about all the suffering and the troubles and the distresses that he had. And beside these things, verse 28 says, beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He felt a burden, a concern for all of the Lord's people. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, and here he sort of caps the climax. He's told us now that he knows what it is to sympathize with others who have trouble. He knows what it is to be in peril and in distress and suffering for Christ's sake and for the sake of his people. And now he tells us, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. No deliverance from an angel, no blinding of the guards, just the humiliation and the weakness of being crammed into a clothes hamper and let down over the wall. This Paul gladly suffered. He gladly shared with his master in his humiliation as a true servant. Now, an unsaved person could not do it, and a carnal Christian would not want to. Tell me, do you belong to the Lord? Are you willing to suffer for him? Our Father, we ask you to bless these scriptures to us and search us out. And if any are not saved, we pray for their redemption. And those who are thine, we pray, may be willing and glad to live for thee, for our Savior's name's sake. Amen.